from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to follow.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Clarence L. Gunter Jr., age 44 at the time of this interview.
Growing up, I was a scholar kid. Once I got in high school, grades dropped. C average, got into playing sports, all sports, including swimming, just having fun, maintaining a decent grade, in and out of fights, teenage things. My mother basically raised me, you know, single parent, even though my grandfather and grandmother was involved, and my grandfather was old school from down south, so he believed in working and taking care of home. I was average. I mean, I was a scholar kid, but I was average. I mean, yes, ma'am, no, sir, things like that, yes. But then out in the street, you know, you had to step up. When I was growing up, we had community centers. You know, we had like the Y, the K-Boys Club, things like that up on the hill and everywhere else. A lot were free. Nowadays, you have to pay for everything, which deters everybody from going. A lot of homes, single parents can't afford it. And that's what leads the young adults to the streets. But I was fortunate. I was able to go everywhere. Being a Hill District person, I still traveled throughout the city and other communities. Nowadays, I see that the young folks is afraid to leave their community. And then when they do leave their community, they get in some type of trouble. You know, all these organizations need to come together, and then it'll be less, as far as less expensive, to get these people to commute into Braddock and keep these centers open a little bit longer. Talking to these young kids, y'all got a lot of peer pressure, and y'all want to be in that clique. It ain't all about being in a clique. It's about, yeah, having your boys, having your people, but when you know what's wrong, just walk away. You know, I knew right from wrong, and I knew when to say, okay, it's time for me to leave, and I left. But I was always, from the time I woke up, school, after school, sports, homework, whatever, by that time, dinner, and it was time to go to bed. My ultimate goal was to be a state trooper, stay in law enforcement, which I did, and I am currently. As growing up, all I did was protect people. I was always a cop. I've been in this field for 17 years. I started off in the city of Pittsburgh Housing Authority Police Department. And from there, I went to Children's Hospital Police. I love it. Each day is totally a different challenge, from the Hill District all the way out here to the borough of Braddock. I mean, high-speed chases, shootings right in front of me, homicide suspects you had to chase down, to running in a burning building, pulling out a conscious person. The number one thing about it is just communication. You have to be able to conversate with somebody, sit down and just get in their head. You don't have to use your gun. You don't have to make that arrest. Just teach to them. We have an advantage as being a borough officer compared to a city officer. Borough officers, we can get more relaxed, more first name basic with the public. You know, they know my first name, I know theirs. I'm their friend, you know, so forth. We could sit down and just laugh and joke about things, which I try to teach the other officers that, to get to know the public, our community. That way, if you do come across that person that is 302 patient, they see a familiar face and they calm down. Because if you've ever been in a situation, you have tunnel vision. I mean, you could be standing right in front of them, they look right past you. They don't even notice you're there. And then their strength level is just like outrageous. So, but when they see a familiar face, they calm down. So what I do, I like to talk to people one-on-one. I get out of my cruiser and I speak with people. My goal is to preach to y'all young folks. I mean, I have a 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 13 and an 11-year-old, all boys. So try to teach them, but you got to be around 24/7, and you can't watch a kid 24/7. With this generation now, it's like they don't want to really come up and talk to anybody. you have to actually corner them. So it's like really hard to try to be that type of role model. I mean, they see you and it's like basically you have to catch them by yourself one-on-one. Then you can talk to them. I have done that plenty of times and changed some lives, but me being a role model, I don't think so. But if you say and put me in that category, then I appreciate it. Maybe I made a difference. Maybe I didn't. Well, I mean, once they go to school, they can always talk to an advisor or a counselor there, and they can guide them in the right way. They can also participate in sports. I mean, all these schools have sports, and if they don't, some of the sports are outside, like summer programs. It's all up to that individual, what type of mindset that person has. Puts everyone in your mind, just strive for it. No matter how hard it gets you down, you always can find something to pump you up. Stay in school, stay off the street, get that education, pursue your goals.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Andre Avent Taylor, Angelo Berger, and Ryan Moriarty. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at crossingfences.org.